You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 49, Cowards and Trailblazers. How are you doing? It's another episode of Banal Leakage. Christmas was this last Thursday. Hope all my listeners had a great day with loved ones, presents, food, drink, you name it. So, and snow finally arrived here in Salt Lake on Christmas Day as well, and a decent amount, too. So it's still hanging out a couple days later here. So, along with the low 30s and the temperatures. And with that, let's start the news! Sony gets hacked, gets threats, cancels, then releases, in limited form, the Interview movie. So, this is kind of the big story. It's been going on for quite a few days now. I mean, the hack happened back in November. So, this hacker group, Guardians of Peace, not even close, broke into Sony's network, hijacked their systems, broke in, did all sorts of manner of stealing of personal details, documents, financial information, emails. These emails exposed various conversations with executives. Some executives, like Amy Pascal, not looking too good here. So anyway, so it's all over the controversy of this movie, The Interview, starring Seth Rogen and James Franco. So, this movie focuses on two journalists who plan to assassinate Kim Jong-un, leader of North Korea. So, this hacker group then released all these things that they hacked, as far as emails, financial details, social security numbers of actors, things like that, a public release. So, in an effort to stop the release of this film. So, they really don't want this film to happen. So threats to theaters owners happened if they show the movie, so all the major chains pretty much pulled out and Sony canceled the release. So this hacker group then responded back, good, Sony, you did what we told you to do. This just stinks of just so much crap. These hackers, fuck these hackers. Yes, it's sad what they did, but, they're making demands and we gave in to them, kind of. So, when I say kind of, so the threats to theater owners, that was a big thing. I guess there was a safety concern. But thanks to independent theaters, they stepped up and showed the movie without incident. Hackers be damned, I feel bad for Sony getting hacked, but it was their own fault in some ways because their security measures were pretty loose. They didn't really have a lot of, details that came out, that like passwords were stored in a folder called passwords. Really? there's got to be some more, being in IT myself for the last 29 plus years, security is a big thing. There's a lot of things that you need to take precautions of. And Sony is a big, large corporation, and they should have done that. So in the end, the movie came out on Christmas Day in about 300 theaters nationwide. Review-wise, I'm going to leave that up to, movie critics and people that have seen the movie so far. I've not seen it yet. It's also available on iTunes. It's also available on Google Play. YouTube movies, it's like $6, I think, you can watch it for rental, or you can buy it for $15 online in digital form. Or you can go to theater and see it. So, it's your choice. I mean, there's so much around that surrounded this whole thing as far as, freedom of speech and we're patriotic, and it's like, no, we really, President Obama got involved as well, too, and, told Sony that they should have, it was a bad call to cancel it, and I kind of agree with him. I mean, Sony, backed down on these, after the threats were made to theater owners, hackers? Really? We're taking demands from hackers. Well, at least it went to 300 theaters, and it's being released online. So, yep, that's what we have here. So, Speaking of Obama, talks between the United States and Cuba have begun, you know, on some levels here. So this has been more than 50 years since the United States cut off its embargo and economic trade with Cuba. And so back on December 17th, Obama spoke to the nation in an address where he proclaimed that it's time to start looking at opening diplomatic relations between the United States and Cuba. I cheer this, you know. So there was kind of a gotcha. The thing that opened this up was Cuba releasing American prisoners, two Americans, and then the U.S. released three convicted Cuban spies. So, there's some, you know, details that aren't being shared. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with everything that surrounded that, but it did open up the talk. So it's, you know, controversial on some levels, but the overall decision to put aside the 50-year blockage of relations between the two countries is a long time coming. Those who are opposed on grounds of communism, and there are those, I've read people, ooh, Cuba's a communist country. So is China, and we do a lot of trade with China. So please, you know, do your research before you waving that communism flag around. So the United States trade embargo could mean a lot of economic for, you know, economic starved Cuba. You know, now granted, a lot of people, you know, travel for U.S. citizens is extremely limited right now, and has been for, you know, for this time. But those that have been there, you know, it's you know, they have those great older cars. That's what everyone, you know. You associate two things with Cuba, the older cars that they've refurbished that are keeping going after all these years, and Cuban cigars. Oh, my. So still, you know, this is great to see happening. You know, just needs to take some time to change policies, set up proper rules, laws, governing of trade, travel, you know, dossiers, you know, things like that, you know, and details that need to be ironed out before we just start, you know, hopping planes to Cuba. So, Congress protects medical marijuana establishments in states where it's legal. Yes, you heard that right. The most recent federal spending measure, the one that gives something like $1.1 trillion or whatever, that kind of thing. It's over 1,600 pages. A little part in there that keeps the government open for business. You know, all these different things that, you know, money and releasing funds and things like that. Well, there's a little part in the 1,600 pages, a small provision that changes drug policy based on states where it's legal. So this is mostly focused on medical pot, but this provision, what we are assuming to be here, also prevents the feds from raids on legal pot in states like Colorado and Washington, and soon to be Alaska and Washington, D.C., So the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, ooh, big bad, still classifies pot as a narcotic, ooh, which I would assume will take more years to reclassify it differently, you know, declassify it, if you will. So this is a great thing to happen, keeping the feds out of the state laws, letting the states handle things on the smokeable arena. Smokeable arena. Yes, yeah, that's... Double entendre right there, folks. More Republicans are backing this position. Okay. And they're supporting those that sell and use medical marijuana. Wow. Okay. So, gosh, you know, a lot of changes since 1937 here. You know, it took a while, but, you know, and we need more changes to remove these anti-drug laws in this country. You know, this is a great start along the path to legality. This week's rant: shopping at the mall days before Christmas is a madhouse. Oh, you know it. The parking lot and the stores are all packed. So I have a mall that is across the street from where I work, and the days leading up to Christmas Eve is crazy. Drivers lose all sense of how to drive. Shoppers packed to the gills inside the mall. Mall kiosks constantly trying to shove their product in your face. Double wide strollers nipping at your heels. So this is why I enjoy shopping online. I don't have to deal with all this. But as with the rest of everyone else, there are those last minute gifts that can't be delivered in time if you order online. So You know, if you want to avoid the malls and you want to do online shopping, you need to be better prepared next year. But so on these mall kiosks, going back to that, so anyone that's walked through any mall, you know, they get hit up by all sorts of vendors. You know, cosmetic, perfume, massage, all sorts of different kiosks. So how I get through the mall when I'm going through this, I become a giant jerk, kind of a phone jerk, and I bury my face in my phone and ignore them. It works every time. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be mean to people, and I don't feel I am, but, you know, I don't need their crap being shoved in my face. So be better prepared next year. Then you can avoid all this. This week's shameless plug, shopping at the mall days before Christmas. So I've learned how to shop at the mall days before Christmas. So I gave you one tip, you know, bury your head in your face in your phone and, you know, just act like a jerk, you know, like, or don't answer, just keep walking. So that's one. So fighting with the crowds at the mall, I've been very good at getting in and out without getting stuck for too long. So two visits this last week, and my total time in the mall for each shopping trip was under 20 minutes. That included parking my car and walking. So what's my trick there? Knowing exactly where you need to go. You know, again, bury phone in the face, walk, be focused, go to the right store. What item do you want? If you can't find it, have a backup plan. You know, have another item that's, and you know which store that is, just in case what you're looking for is out of stock or already sold out. I got lucky on all fronts here, and it made me happy that I was able to navigate my way around every person, child, stroller, and kiosk employee. Of course, again, as I mentioned in my rant, shopping online avoids the hassle altogether. But, you know, it was kind of cool. Walk in, walk out. Done deal. Parking lot packed, mall packed, stores packed, Christmas Eve. Day before Christmas Eve, I think, was one of my trips that I was highly successful on. So, yes. So, again, you want to avoid it? Shop online. Otherwise, take my tip and try it again next year. Sure, bring on your worst. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.